ate the embroidered tablecloths, as well as the lacy edges of the linen placemats. 15 different sorts of wood had been used for the window seats and the mantels, including golden oak, silver ash, and a peculiarly fragrant cherry wood that gave off the scent of ripe fruit even in the dead of winter, when every tree outside was nothing more than a leafless black stick. No matter how dusty the rest of the house might be, none of the woodwork ever needed polishing. If you squinted, you could see your reflection right there in the wainscoting in the dining room, or the banister you held onto as you ran up the stairs. It was dark in every room, even at noon, and cool all through the heat of July. Anyone who dared to stand on the porch, where the ivy grew wild, could try for hours to look through the windows and never see a thing. It was the same looking out. The green-tinted window glass was so old and so thick that everything on the other side seemed like a dream, including the sky and the trees. The little girls who lived up in the attic were sisters, only 13 months apart in age. They were never told to go to bed before midnight or reminded to brush their teeth. No one cared if their clothes were wrinkled or if they spit on the street. All the while these little girls were growing up, they were allowed to sleep with their shoes on and draw funny faces on their bedroom walls with black crayons. They could drink cold Dr. Peppers for breakfast, if that was what they craved, or eat marshmallow pies for dinner. They could climb onto the roof and sit perched on the slate peak, leaning back as far as possible in order to spy the first star. There they would stay on windy March nights or humid August evenings, whispering, arguing over whether it was feasible for even the smallest wish to ever come true. The girls were being raised by their aunts, who, as much as they might have wanted to, simply couldn't turn their nieces away. The children, after all, were orphans whose careless parents were so much in love they failed to notice smoke emanating from the walls of the bungalow where they'd gone to enjoy a second honeymoon after leaving the girls home with a babysitter. No wonder the sisters always shared a bed during storms. They were both terrified of thunder and could never speak above a whisper once the sky began to rumble. When they did finally doze off, their arms wrapped around each other, they often had the exact same dreams. There were times when they could complete each other's sentences. Certainly each could close her eyes and guess what the other most desired for dessert on any given day. But in spite of their closeness, the two sisters were entirely different in appearance and temperament. Aside from the beautiful gray eyes the Owens women were known for, no one would have had reason to guess the sisters were related. Jillian was fair and blonde, while Sally's hair was as black as the pelts of the ill-mannered cats the aunts allowed to skulk through the garden and claw at the draperies in the parlor. Jillian was lazy and liked to sleep past noon. She saved up her allowance money, then paid Sally to do her math homework and iron her party dresses. She drank bottles of Yoo-Hoo and ate goopy Hershey's bars while sprawled out on the cool basement floor, content to watch as Sally dusted the metal shelves where the aunts kept pickles and preserves. Jillian's favorite thing in the world to do was to lie on the velvet-cushioned window seat up on the landing, where the drapes were made of damask, and a portrait of Maria Owens, who had built the house so long ago, collected dust in a corner. That's where she could be found on summer afternoons, so relaxed and languid that moths would land on her, mistaking her for a cushion, and proceed to make tiny holes in her t-shirts and jeans. Sally, 397 days older than her sister, was as conscientious as Jillian was idle. She never believed in anything that couldn't be proven with facts and figures. When Jillian pointed to a shooting star, it was Sally who reminded her that what was falling to Earth was only an old rock, heated by its descent through the atmosphere. Sally was a take-charge sort of person from the start. She didn't like confusion and mess, both of which filled the aunt's old house on Magnolia Street from attic to cellar. From the time she was in third grade and Jillian in second, Sally was the one who cooked healthy dinners of meatloaf and fresh green beans and barley soup,